to a scene. Good morning, church. Are you awake this morning? If not, we're going to open up the windows and let that cold in air, that air in, and just refresh us. I feel more awake in the morning when it's really, really cold, and I enjoy it. I'm looking forward to the snow. Am I allowed to say that without you guys getting upset at me? And I'm looking forward to worshiping and preaching on those Saturdays when it's so packed outside with snow that you can't go nowhere, so I'm going to go 2 hours in my sermons. Then you're like, I could go downstairs for potluck. Well, I'm really, really been looking forward to this Sabbath because we are starting a new series in our church, and we're going to be going through this series for 3 weeks, so you don't want to miss it out. You want to come every week, especially the next 3 weeks, and the series is called two things, Women of the Bible. Is there any women here? Okay, good. So I'm relevant at least. The other thing that it's called is Men of the Bible. Do I have any men here in the church? Okay, so I'm relevant for the men as well. And so what we're going to be going through is we're going to be going through the stories. Every Sabbath, we're going to be going through the stories of two people. A man, well, let's start, a woman and a man in the Bible. Now, what type of person are you? Are you the type of person that likes the Old Testament, or do you like the New Testament? Raise your hand if you like the New Testament more. Reading it. I'm not saying if you like Jesus more, okay? I know he's in the New Testament. Just reading it. Raise your hand, New Testament. Okay. How many of you like reading the Old Testament better? Okay, I'm an Old Testament person. By the way, Jesus is both in the Old and New Testament. So just in case you did not know that. And I love the Old Testament because, first of all, there's more there. So there's a lot more stuff there. There's more stories as well. I love stories. Are you a stories person? And so I'm able to kind of digest that and learn more, I think, through the stories than I would maybe through theology, like the book of Romans. So today we're going to be looking at the lives of two people in the Old Testament. Two people that have a very different life, but had the same plan in their life. And so we're going to be looking at the story of Rahab. Do you guys remember the story of Rahab? Rahab lived in what city, friends? Okay, maybe we don't remember the story of Rahab. Rahab lived in the city of Jericho. Do you guys remember that song of Jericho? And what happened to the walls of Jericho? They fell down, that's right. We learn that the Israelites had been wandering for many years. They came to the border. Moses could not enter the city, and so his faithful servant Joshua entered into Canaan. And the first major obstacle that they encountered was this heavily fortified city called Jericho. And so Joshua, being the military man, sent two spies to go look at Jericho to see if there's any place that they could find weaknesses there in Jericho. And they went into this city of Jericho, and because the population was very, let's say, paranoid, because there was an invading force coming in, everybody was on the lookout for spies. And so where did the spies go? The place that strangers would go and not become so obvious to everybody. It wasn't the city square. It wasn't the city food diner. It wasn't anywhere public. They went to a place where they would be not seen and a place where they would still be welcome. They went to the city prostitute. And as they went to the city prostitute, her name was Rahab. We find there that this woman enters the picture, and she's a remarkable woman. She is a remarkable woman in a remarkable time. Now, contrast that to the story of a man named Samson. Isn't that a mighty beard? you could kind of tell if men like the Old Testament or New Testament better by their facial hair, by the way. That's one way of looking at it. And we see the story of Samson, and we discover that Samson was a person that God had a plan for his life. God had a major plan for his life since even before he was born. And we find that in the life that God had prepared for him, he took it for granted and went far away from God's plan for his life. And so Rahab and Samson are united, that both are people who God had a plan for their life. Man, woman, Israelite, Canaanite, but God had a plan for their life. And the reason we're talking about that this morning is because there's men and women in this church today who God has a major plan for their life. But there's a lot of excuses we put. There's a lot of wasted opportunities. There's a lot of things you should have done, could have done. There's a lot of places that you would have been born that would have been better for your life. There's been a lot of difficulties in your life. But God still has a plan for your life. Do you believe that? That God has a plan for your life? How many of you believe that God has a plan for your life? Keep them up. How many people are living that plan that God has for their life? Don't get so personal, Pastor. Just tell the story. Let's talk about Rahab and Samson. Don't talk about me. Don't talk about my life. Don't talk about my plans. Not God's plans, my plans for my life and what I'm doing with my life. And so we find out that God has current plans for your life, but he has the ultimate plan for your life, which is your salvation. And I find that a lot of times, especially young people, get very excited because they want to know, what is God's plan for my life right now, my current plans? They want to know, who is the man or the woman that God's going to bring in my life, current plans? What's my career going to be? How am I going to make my money? God, what are the plans for my life, my current plans? How am I going to save for a house? How am I going to save for retirement? How am I going to send my kids here? What are the plans? God, bless me. Show me your plans. This current plan is the one that we concentrate on, the one that we focus. But God has an ultimate plan that blows those plans out of the water. Because even if all your current plans don't come true, if God's ultimate plan for you does, you have gained heaven, eternity, and all the blessings that come with it. So keep things in perspective, right? Keep things in perspective. And so we discover that your purpose is being in God's will for your life. To have true purpose in life means being in God's will. So let's talk about Rahab and Samson. If you could find any two people in the Bible who had an unequal upbringing, it would be Samson and it would be Rahab. Have you ever met someone in your life who is so different than you? Whose upbringing and background is so different than you? Look to your left. Look to your right. Do you find similarities or do you find differences? With my wife, we were completely different. There were some things that united us. We both believed in God. We loved the Lord. We were Seventh-day Adventists and so forth. But when we got married, we realized that we were very different. You see, she had been raised in the country. She had been raised in the country with no water, no electricity. She was homeschooled for many years. She lived up in the mountains when she moved in California. I, on the other hand, was raised in the city. And the city felt like home to me. You know, if there wasn't a store down the street open 24 hours a day, I thought that was strange and weird. And so we came together and there was a lot of differences. A lot of differences in our upbringings. And I tell this when I do marriage counseling because I think it's important to recognize those differences when you are married. You see, I was raised in a Hispanic home, and in a Hispanic home, we discover that the mother shows her love by doing stuff in the house, whether it's washing your clothes, ironing it, you know, cleaning the house. If I would pick up dirty clothes to do my own, my mom said, no, you don't know how to do it. Let me do it for you. And she would bring it to me, and that was her way of expressing love. So that's how I kind of grew up. My wife, on the other hand, grew up in the home where both parents did everything together. And so when we first got married, I was so happy that now I had a wife that was expressing her love towards me by doing all these things that my mother used to do for me, right? And she was doing them the first couple of weeks out of love, but in the back of her mind, she was saying, what's wrong with this man? He expects me to do everything here. He's not helping. Because she had grown up one way, but I had grown up a different way. By the way, that's what happens when you get one session of premarital counseling, because you're a pastor and you don't need it. You need it, whether you're a pastor or not. But luckily, I was a pastor, and we're able to talk those things through and find out that even though we were different, we could adapt as well. What was so different about Samson's upbringing compared to Rahab's upbringing? Well, Samson had been raised right. Had been raised what? He had been raised right. He had been raised in the right place. What nation did he grow up in? Israel. This was the only nation in the whole world that had the true knowledge of the living God. If there was any place to grow up for God's plans to come true in your life, it was a nation that believed and followed God. Israel, right place. But not only that, he was raised with the right advice. You know, parents need advice when raising their children. Is that true or false? I had my daughter almost 18 months ago. And when we had her, we made the big mistake of asking other parents advice on how to raise her. I would talk to this group of friends, and they would say, this is the right way to do things. This is how you do it, whether it's potty training, eating, sleeping time, you name it. They would be, this is the only and right way to do it. Then I would talk to this group of friends, and they would say the exact opposite. And they would say, this is the right and only way to do it. And they both had articles and research to back it up. When it comes to parenting, everybody had a right way. How do you know what is the right way, the right advice to follow when you're having a child? Well, when it comes to the life of Samson, that was not a problem. Because the Bible teaches us that his parents were not taught by friends. His parents were not taught by their neighbors or even the pastor or the priest of the day. The Bible tells us in Judges chapter 13, verse 3 and 5, and I'm going to read before and come to this text, verse 5. It says this in Judges 13, verses 3 to 5. And the angel of the Lord appeared. Who appeared? The angel of the Lord. Not an angel, the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman, Samson's mother, and said to her, indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink and not to eat anything unclean. Is it important what you eat and drink when you're pregnant? Yes or no? The Bible knew that thousands of years ago. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. Samson was born in the right place. He was born with the right advice because the angel of the Lord himself came to the mother of Samson and told them, this is how you shall raise him, because he was born for a purpose. God has a plan for his life. What was God's plan for his life, by the way? That he would begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Well, not only was he born in the right place, not only was he given the right advice, but he had the right parents. How many of you guys can say, I've had good parents? I've had good parents. Not everybody could say that, I understand. but I had good parents. I have to say that for myself. I have been blessed. I could not have asked for better parents. In fact, I think that I don't deserve my parents at certain times. They are wonderful people. They have taught me so much, and they've given so much of themselves for me. Samson was the same, because even though the angel of the Lord had given them advice on how to raise him, the father of Samson was not satisfied. Manoah asked the Lord and prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born." The father was not satisfied. He said, "I didn't hear the advice. My wife heard the advice. I want to be a good father too. I want to know how to raise this child. Please, Lord, send this man again. I want to have the right parenting. I want to raise this child right." And so we find that the Lord came again to Manoah, and he gave Manoah the advice on how to raise Samson. And after Manoah and his wife had received the advice for the second time from the angel of the Lord, listen to the words that they said. And Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen who? God." So the angel of the Lord came and gave him an advice. As soon as the angel of the Lord left, they said, "We're going to die because we have seen God." So friends, the question is, who gave Samson's parents parenting advice? Are you connecting the dots? Who gave Samson's parents parenting advice? Which, they said, is, we've seen God. God himself had given them parenting advice. So you see what a privileged upbringing Samson had? Number one, he was born in the right place. He was born and given the right advice. He was given the best parents. If there's anyone who could have the greatest privileges in life to grow up to fulfill God's plan for his life, it would be Samson. Samson was blessed by God. The Bible said he grew and the Lord blessed him. Reading from this part of the story, you would expect that Samson would just be a perfect kid, right? Right place, right parenting, right parents, and blessed by God. You would think he's a perfect child, right? But was that the case? Did he grow up to be what we thought he would be? Now, this is important because there's been some awesome parents that I've met, awesome Christians, from what I've known. And they've raised their kids the best they can, according to what the Bible taught them. They brought them to church, from Sabbath school, adventures, pathfinders. They took them to all the activities of the church. They did their best. They prayed for their children. They cried over their children. They wanted God's plan in their life to be fulfilled. But their children end up leaving the church. No longer in the church, away from the Lord. And the natural human tendency is to say, "What did they do wrong? Or what did I do wrong?" And there's a lot of hurt and a lot of pain. You think Manoah and his wife felt pain from the actions of Samson? Deep pain. Deep pain. But God still had a plan for that wayward son. The Bible tells us that he was born with a good life. Now, Rahab, on the other hand, had a life that was not ideal. She was born in the wrong place. Where was she born? Jericho, maybe, but in the land of Canaan. And we find that the land of Canaan was not the place to be born because it was so wicked that it was under the judgments of God. So that place was not a good place. Have you been born in a bad place? Sometimes we feel that we cannot become nothing in life, that we cannot fulfill God's plans for our life because we're born in the wrong place or in the wrong family or in the wrong conditions or in the wrong environment, and we're always using that as a stumbling block or an excuse that I wish that I could have become like you, we say to another spiritual person, but I didn't have the parents like you had who raised me up going to church and teaching me about the Bible. I wish that I knew my Bible better, but I wasn't raised in the church. I would have maybe not gotten into so much trouble and temptation if I was born in the country instead of the inner city. Maybe if there wasn't so much temptation around me, I would be a better Christian. The Bible tells us that Rahab was born in the wrong place. She also was probably not given the right advice, or her parents were not given the right advice when it comes to parenting. And the reason I say this is because I find this very interesting verse here in Joshua chapter 6, verse 23. When the spies came, they didn't only save her. Who else did they save? Her family. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought Rahab, her father, are you guys with me? Her father, her mother, her, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. Now, I don't know about you, but usually nowadays, when people get in prostitution, it's because they have no other opportunities, or they've been pressured into it, or someone has taken advantage of them and put them in that situation. Because I know this, that if my sister was in the position where she had to sell her body to make a living, I would go over to her and say, don't worry about it, I'm going to take care of you. You don't sell your body. You could live with me. I will provide for you. I will take care of you. But please, don't be selling your body out in the streets. That's a brother. How much more a father or a mother? If your daughter was selling her body for a living, would you not go over and say, honey, don't do this. Why are you doing this? Come back home. Live with us. We'll take care of you. We'll get money together between your brothers and your mother and your father. We'll buy you a little house, or we'll provide for your needs. But please, please, don't prostitute yourself no more. Don't do this. Would a good parent, with good parenting advice, pull their daughter out of that life? Yes or no? Yeah. But we find here that she had brothers in the city, and they were doing nothing when it came to her prostitution. She had a mother and a father, and they did nothing because she was still working as a prostitute. So this leads me to conclude that they saw prostitution as not a bad thing for the life of their daughter. Maybe this was the purpose for her life, to be a prostitute and make some money by prostituting herself. Do you see the differences in the life of Samson and Rahab? Completely different backgrounds, completely different opportunities, but God had a plan for both of them. Friends, it doesn't matter if you're born in that perfect Christian home, or if you're born in the most terrible home with the most terrible parents, the most terrible environment, the most difficult situations, God still has a plan for your life. God still can work in your life. God still can do wonderful things. So what happened to Rahab and Samson? Well, both of them had been ruined by ungodly desires. Both of them had been ruined by ungodly desires. Friends, God's plans for your life can be ruined by ungodly desires. We find that Samson's mission and purpose and God's plan for his life was for him to start liberating the Israelites from the Philistines or Philistines. If I mispronounce things in the Bible, I'm going to say this. I grew up learning them in Spanish. So if I say things half Spanglish and English, it's for that reason. All the names in the Bible and places are in Spanish in my head. So both were ruined by ungodly desires. If Samson was going to liberate the Israelites from their enemies, the Philistines, you would think that they would be enemies, right? But what do we find Samson doing? We find Samson not being an enemy of the Philistines, but being someone who hangs out in their land and checks out their girls. We find that instead of going and doing battle with the enemy of God and fulfilling his plan and mission in his life, he's just walking around their towns, checking out their girls, and seeing which one he likes the best. Was he fulfilling God's plan for his life? Yes or no? But he had the perfect upbringing, perfect place, perfect parents. God even instructed them. What's wrong with him? Friends, there's something called choice, right? We all have a choice to make, no matter how we were brought up. We find in Judges chapter 14, verse 2, that he was walking around Timnah, and he saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines, and he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife. No shame. No shame. Because his parents have been probably telling him since youth, your mission, your plan that God is giving you and blessed you with was to liberate your people from the Philistines. And he comes and says, I have found a hot girl from the Philistines. Go get her for me. And the reason, he says, get her for me, for she pleases me well. You see, our desires, ungodly desires, could take us away from God's plans for our lives. God has major plans for your life. But sometimes your ungodly desires take you in an opposite direction. Now, it wasn't only her, because the Bible tells us that things didn't go well with this wife. And so another time, we find again that he was in a Philistine territory, and he saw a harlot there and went into her. I don't know what's wrong with this guy. I'm starting to get mad at Samson. Are you mad at Samson? I mean, he has the best upbringing. He has, you know, his parents had been so good. I mean, think about it. If his parents were members of my church, we'd probably be meeting on a weekly basis, right? And they'd come to me and say, Pastor Silva, Samson, you know Samson? I'd say, Samson? You mean Samson, the one that the Lord appeared and told you how to raise him? Yes. The one that you raised him so good? Yes. The one in Sabbath school? The one that came to church every Sabbath? That Samson? Yes. What's he doing? He's sleeping with the prostitutes. What? Sleeping with the prostitutes? What prostitutes? From the Philistine prostitutes. The Philistine. It can't be. It can't be. Not Samson. Not Samson. God had plans for his life. God had plans for his life. And we would mourn, and we would pray, and we would mourn, and we'd pray some more. But we would never stop praying for Samson. Because God had a plan for his life still, even through his ungodly desires. Now, who are you? Are you Samson? Are you Rahab? Are you somewhere in the middle? Does God have plans for your life? And are people looking at your life and saying, wow, God has provided great things for them and they're living up to those plans? Or are you one of those that we look at and we say, God had plans for his life. God had plans for her life. Their parents had plans for their life. They're very far away from those plans. Who are you in the story? We find that Samson didn't care, because things kept getting worse, and he shacked up. Now he's getting lower and lower. First, he's marrying a Philistine. Then he's sleeping with her prostitutes. But now he says, I'm just going to move in with one. I'm not going to marry her. I'm just going to move in with her. And her name was Delilah. And we find the afterword that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Now, here's the interesting thing. God was still working through his failures because God had a plan for his life. Do you know that his purpose was to fight and destroy the Philistines and liberate his people? He didn't want to live up to that plan. He didn't want to live up to God's plan for his life. But God would use his ungodly desires to start fulfilling his plans. Because what happened with his first wife? Well, he got mad at his first wife because she told the secret of the riddle, if you remember that part of the story. And so he left his wife. But after a couple of months, he got over his anger and he came back to take his wife to be with him or to at least sleep with her. He wanted to go into her room. And the father of his former wife said, "Hey, you left. I thought you'd never come back. I gave her to another man." Well, that really got him mad. So he got a couple of foxes, poor foxes. Have you ever read the story? I always feel sorry for the foxes. He tied their tails together. He lit them on fire, and the foxes went running through the fields of the Philistines, and all their food went up in flames. The Philistines came ready to kill Samson, and there comes that famous story where he found the bone of a donkey's jawbone. He got that up and he took down how many men? 1,000 men. Boom, boom, boom. But it wasn't because he was like, "God, I'm ready to fulfill your plan for my life." It was because his girl got him in trouble. After that, we find that he went to sleep with a prostitute. And when they found out that Samson was in the city, they shut him in, thinking to kill him in the morning. When he woke up, he saw that closed gate, and what did he do to that closed gate? He tore it off and took it up on a hill. Huge gate, impossible to carry, and he took it up. And then, with Delilah, as he lay there, and she's begging him, "Tell me your secret, tell me your secret." 3 times, he tells her something different. Ropes, this type of rope, that type of rope, tie my hair up. And every time the Philistines would come upon him, break and destroy those Philistines. But it wasn't because he was fulfilling God's mission. It was because the girls were getting him in trouble. I see these things as acts of mercy. Because God didn't have to give him power, did he? God didn't have to. I mean, God made him a superman of a sort, a superhero. He had super strength. And he wasn't living up to God's purpose or plans, but God was still using him out of mercy. And even though you have disappointed God, or maybe you're not living up to his plans for your life, do you still see God's blessings in your life? Do you still even see him use you at some times? And you're like, "I'm unworthy, Lord, but you're still using me? Why are you still blessing me?" But those are acts of mercy. And we find that as Samson went down this road, there came a time and place where his plans and God's plans could no longer walk together. And he confessed and told Delilah what was the secret to his strength. And we find that at this time, she lulled him to sleep. And they took him and cut his hair, but he did not know when they cut his hair that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters and became a grinder in prison. You know, when I think of Samson, I don't really think that he didn't want to fulfill God's plans for his life. Do you know what I think? I think that Samson was just putting off God's plans. He was probably thinking, "I'm young, let me have some fun, let me meet some girls, I'm handsome, I'm strong, you know, I'm powerful, I'm the most famous Israelite, let me have some fun, and when I get a little older, I'm gonna do what you want me to do, Lord." I don't think he ever intended to completely abandon God's plan, but he wanted to live a little before he fulfilled God's plans for his life. Isn't that a temptation for a lot of us? Let me finish my education first, or let me buy my house, or let me fix this up, or let me retire, or, you know, when I get older, or when I have more time, let me take care of my plans before I take care of your plans for my life. Can you imagine that? God, let me take care of my plans for my life before I allow you to do your plans in my life. Till finally, God had to say, go ahead, let your plans become reality. And his plans had him bound up in chains with no eyes. Well, not seeking to fulfill God's purpose or plans, he was seeking his ungodly desires. But both Samson and Rahab receive grace because of their faith. The Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, that we find Rahab with the two spies. And here comes Rahab's moment of decision. Because the spies are there looking at her. And at this moment, she has to decide, do I turn them over to be killed or do I protect them somehow? And she goes on to confess that they have heard what the Lord their God has done for the Israelites, what mighty deeds he has done. And then she declares this statement of faith. She says, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. So here's this woman, Rahab, who had the worst upbringing, the worst environment, probably not good parents, who's a prostitute. And it seems that her life is not bringing about any good plans. But in the midst of her terrible life, we find that God's plans come to her with the introduction of these two spies. And she has a choice. Continue down the path that you're going or choose this new path that has been presented to you. Change is hard, isn't it? Change is hard. When God asks you to change your plans, he's not asking you to do a small thing. He's asking you to do a big thing. And I don't know what it is, but God is asking you to change your plans so you could be on his plans. I know what it was for me. I was a registered nurse. I was going to go to dental school. And I decided to go to Bible college. And there, I was confronted with a different path that God wanted me to go on. And I had a choice to make. Which path do you follow? Rahab was given a choice. And it was this moment she made that choice that she declared that the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above on earth and on earth and heaven above and beneath. So we find here that Rahab is now a believer. And we discover as well that in order for her to be saved, in Joshua chapter 2, verse 11, the disciples told her something, the spies told her something very specific. Unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. The only way that she would be saved when the walls came tumbling down. By the way, the walls didn't kill the people. You do realize that, right? The walls fell down. That means that now the Israelites came in and they destroyed the people in there. So they went around killing everybody. And the spies told her, the only way you're going to be saved is if you put this scarlet rope thread on your window. And if you want your family to be saved, they have to be in the house with you. If they're outside of the house, they will be dead. They will be killed. Now remember what is an experience that had been fresh in the minds of the Israelites. They had been in Egypt. And on that last day, when the last plague came, the angel of the Lord came, the angel of justice came killing every firstborn, and he would have killed the firstborn of the Israelites, except that on their door, they put the blood of the lamb. And here, the Israelites come as instruments of justice, and they see this house with a scarlet robe. Scarlet also representing, in many places, blood. And if they were outside of the house, they would be killed. Safety would only be in the house for the Israelites that had the blood. Safety for Rahab would only be in the house that had the scarlet thread. God's grace was with them from the very beginning. God's blood was spilled for them before he was even on the cross. And so we find in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. You know, Hebrews chapter 11 is that chapter of faith, and here we find the prostitute Rahab, that she believed and she was saved. Now, the most amazing thing about Rahab, I find in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, because God had a plan for Rahab that she did not know when she was raised in that terrible environment that she was in. God had a plan for Rahab when she was growing up as a little girl, and maybe her dream as a little girl was to find a man who loved her. Maybe her dream was to have a little plot of land right outside of Jericho that was able to have enough food for her and her family. Maybe her little dream as a young woman was to have many children for her husband and have a happy family. But because of the circumstances of her life, she found herself being the prostitute for every other married man in town. But God had a plan for her life, didn't he? Because when she was rescued, she was taken into the Israelite camp. And there was a man by the name of Salmon who was a prince of Judah. He was a prince. Friends, the prostitute and the prince. God had better plans for her than she could even imagine. All she might have wanted was a little house with a husband and some children. But now she had a prince of the conquering nation that took over all of Canaan. And now she had a prince who begot her a son named Boaz. And Boaz turned out to be a good man, didn't he? Because later on we find that Boaz met a woman who also was not an Israelite, by the name of Ruth. Just like his mother had not been an Israelite. And they had a son called Obed. And Obed had a son named Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David. This prostitute is going to have the surprise of her life in heaven. When the Lord returns and he shows her all her children and her families. And then she walks up to this person who's brighter than everyone. A person who has the brightest smile, who has the kindest eyes, and who has holes here, and who has holes here, and who has holes here, and one on his side. And she's going to say, "Who are you?" And he'll say, "I'm Jesus, your Savior. And your great, 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 great grandson. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for not looking at your life and thinking that God cannot work through your difficult upbringing." How many of you had had a difficult upbringing? How many of you have had a hard time in life? How many of you had not have ideal situations? Friends, I know there's many out there, but don't think that God cannot do something wonderful through your life. Because if he could do it through Rahab the prostitute, he could do it for you. And that's why her story is in the Bible. Not because she's only a woman, it's for the woman and men. God could do something through your life. She is an inspiration to me, and she should be an inspiration for all who read her story. But what do? God often uses small matches to light up great torches. But what do with this man? Samson. Are you still disappointed with Samson? Look what Rahab did with her upbringing. Look at how God used her. And you who had everything have wasted it. Now look at you. You're blind. You're shackled, you're a slave, you're not Superman anymore. You're just another donkey pushing. And friends, I want you to have mercy, because this is what we do in the church many times. We have Rahabs, they come out of the street and into the church. Prostitution, alcoholism, drugs, living a worldly life, living a life outside of God, and they come into the church, and what happens? Welcome! Welcome home! The prodigal son, right? A person living in sin, and they give up these things, and they join God's people, and now they have a new plan. God has a new plan for their life, and we embrace them. But what do we do with the Samsons in the church? The ones that have grown up in the church and are living a life apart from God, or living a life that is not in the plans of God. It's almost like we're embarrassed of them, aren't we? We don't talk too much about them. We don't bring them up too much. Every once in a while, we hear bad news and we say we should pray for them. We don't actually pray for them. We just say we should pray for them. We don't reach out to them. We just say they made bad choices in their life. Let them reap what they have sown. And maybe one day, they'll turn to the Lord. Sometimes we're too hard on the Samsons, aren't we? And sometimes we don't realize that maybe we could be lit in the church every Sabbath and we're still a Samson. We're still a Samson. So what happened to Samson? You know, Samson is also in Hebrews chapter 11. Did you guys know that? The faith chapter? The same one that Rahab is in? He's in there too. Joshua chapter 16 verse 28 tells us, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." They brought him out. You guys know the story? They put him there to perform for them. And then he asked the little boy to put his hands on the two pillars that were supporting that great auditorium where all the Philistine leaders and princes and all of them were gathered to watch him and mock him and make fun of him. At that moment, he must have felt so small, because here are the people that he was supposed to destroy on God's behalf to liberate the Israelites. And now look at him. He has failed. God's plan for him has come to nothing. God had blessed him so much. But he has wasted his life. And at that point, he could have hung his head and said, "I deserve it. I'm good for nothing. I should just give up." And Satan must have been whispering in his ear, "You have failed. You're good for nothing. You shouldn't even go back to church. You shouldn't even pray to God. You shouldn't even open up your Bible anymore. That sin was too big. It was too bad." But not Samson. Because his biggest strength was not his muscles. His biggest strength was his trust and faith in God. And in his darkest and lowest moment, faith reached up and he prayed to God, "Please, give me strength one more time so I could fulfill the mission and the plan that you have for my life." And it says in Hebrews chapter 11, "What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, and also of David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms." Can you subdue kingdoms through faith? Yes or no? "Work righteousness, obtain promises, and stop the mouth of lions." And so in Joshua chapter 16, verse 30, the climax of the life of Samson, and Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines, and he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people that were there. This is the clincher. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life." His greatest moment where he fulfilled God's plan for his life came at the very end of his life. How many years have you wasted of your life? How many years have you wasted that God wanted to do something in your life, through your life? Has it been 1 year? Has it been 5? Has it been 10? Has it been 20? Has it been 30? Are you getting to the point where you feel like your life is completely wasted, but God could still do something through you, something wonderful, maybe even something greater than you've done in your whole life? God wants to do something through you. There are no hopeless situations, friends, Rahab or Samson's. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them. And what we need is more faith, faith in God, trust in God. And whatever has happened in your life, whether you're Samson and have had a wonderful upbringing, but have wasted that upbringing, or you've been a Rahab and have had a terrible upbringing, God still has a plan for you. But you need to make a choice. And you need to make a choice today to live that life for Him and stop wasting the years. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, because I feel and I sense that there's some Rahabs here. I feel and sense that there's some Samsons here. And I want to make that appeal to you, to let God's life plan be lived out in you. So I want to begin with those who are Rahabs. Have you connected with the story of Rahab? Has life been tough on you? Have you not had the ideal situations? Have people betrayed you? Have people hurt you? Has your parents not taught you well, not treated you well? Has everything been going not ideal to be a Christian or a follower of Christ? But now you've discovered that that's no excuse, because God could still bless you and honor you and give you a great, great end if you would only trust and believe in Him. Friends, if today you want to raise your hand and say, Lord, let your life live through me, even though my life has not been great growing up or throughout my life, I'm still going to let God live His plan through me because I'm a Rahab. Raise your hand at this time and say, Lord, Lord me, please do something in my life like Rahab. Father, look at these hands. There are your children, your children. Father, in this congregation, there's also Samsons, people who have recognized that they've had a privileged upbringing, raised in the church, raised by people who love the Lord, raised through programs in the church, have been given every opportunity to get close to you, to know you, to live a life that honors you, but they've gone far away from you, living their own plans, their own ungodly pleasures. Are you a Samson, friend? Are you a Samson this morning? And you want to say, Lord, even though I've wasted years, I want to give the years I have to you. Would you raise your hand if that is you? If you're a Samson and you want to give the years you have left, if you've gone away, even though you've had privileged upbringing, even if you've been taught well but have not followed it, Samson, would you raise your hand? God could still do mighty things through you. Amen. Amen. And we want to end today by asking, if there's someone here who's not a Samson because they don't know the Lord, they've never accepted Him, but they would like to get to know Him and make a decision to follow Him and have a life of obedience to Him. Just like there's a young man this morning who said, I wanted to be baptized and I am baptized. Is there someone here this morning who wants to start their life new, has been thinking about baptism, has been thinking about changing their plans of their life, changing for the good through baptism? Would you raise your hand and say, Lord, I've been thinking of giving my life to you through baptism. I've been struggling, but today I recognize that you have a plan for my life, and baptism is one of those steps I must take. Would you raise your hand this morning if you want God to wash you clean and let His plan come a reality in yours? This is your moment. Would you raise your hand? Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the stories of Samson. Thank you that there's men in the Bible. There's men in the Bible who have disappointed you, but you have still been merciful to them. Thank you, Lord, for the story of Rahab. She's such an inspiration, Lord. Thank you that even through her difficult upbringing, you have used her to bring about great things, even to bring about your son, Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that we would have the faith of Samson. I pray, Lord, that we would have the faith of Rahab. And I pray, Lord, that we would be men of God and that we would be women of God. We all say, amen. We want to